going.
Yeah. Okay, both sides. We're doing this with Pashas Rein, the Shem Yishmuel. Shem Yishmuel was the second Sachet Shabbat Rebbe and grandson of the Kotzker Rebbe, son of the Avnezer, the great Gadol HaDor of his time. And we're very privileged that his Sfarim were published not so long ago. And it opens up the world of Chassidus for us. Tonight to see something what he does. The beginning of, in this week's parasha, the beginning is a discussion according to Rashi and Chazal of the Mishkan Shiloh and the Beis Hamikdash. The pasuk says, "Ki levosem ad ato el hamenucha v'al nachla." You haven't yet come to Menucha Nachla. There's a discussion of the laws of Kabanos, the laws of Obama, and there's a reference here to the Menucha, Zeh Shiloh, and Nachla, Zu Beis HaMikdash. Menucha means, I guess you translate it as tranquility, Nachla, an inheritance. So that has to be explained. Why is Mishkan Shiloh called a Menucha? Why is the Beis Mishkan called a Nachla? Now, just for everybody, we should just review a little bit. When Moshe Rabbeinu built the Mishkan, that everybody knows, there's a lot of talk about it in the Chumash, Sefer Vayikra, again and again, Shmos Vayikra, but the Beis Hamikdash, of course, is built by David HaMelech. The Mishkan of Moshe was brought to Shiloh by Yeshua ben Nun, and it stayed there for 369 years. It basically functioned like a Beis Hamikdash. When they had the Mishkan Shiloh, all the bamos, all the other alternative mizbechos were all prohibited. You had to bring a carbon to Shiloh. And Elkanah, the father of Shmuel Navi, Chazal say, was famous. And he was very strong to try to bring the Jewish people three times a year to the Mishkan and Shiloh. I myself was zochet to be in Shiloh for 20 years every summer, Baruch Hashem. So, in fact, I was just there a couple of weeks ago in Shiloh. So the Mishkan was there for many years, and then it moved over to Yerushalayim, to the Beis Hamikdash. The question really is, why were there two stages? The Gemara says, based on Pesukim, Mishkan Zeh Mikdash, Mikdash is a Mishkan, that they're in a certain way equivalent, but really they're not equivalent, because the Mishkan had it was a completely different structure. It wasn't built at all like, they only had like the basic parts. There was a courtyard and the house. You had two rooms. The first room was called Kodesh, the second was called Kodesh Kodashim. But except for that, say, basic design, but the building itself, the dimensions of everything were totally different. So what's Takalat Pshat? That there's a Mishkan, there's a Beis HaMikdash. What are these two stages? Now, the Shem Shmuel has a very interesting idea to explain this. We know that in the Mishkan, the original Mishkan, which was constructed by Moshe Rabbeinu and then was transferred by Yeshua ben Nun to Shiloh, that this Mishkan was the source of Matan Torah. In other words, whatever began at Har Sinai continued in the Mishkan. We said many times, it says in the Chumash, V'dav Hashem el Moshe ma'oel moed lemor. God speaks to Moshe from the oel moed, from the Mishkan, many times, many mitzvahs. The Matan Torah was completed through the Mishkan. Now, in the Beis HaMikdash, there was no more Matan Torah. The Torah is complete. The Beis HaMikdash was mainly the place of Avodas Hashem, where we serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu, sacrifices, davening, kohanim give brachos, so it's a place of avoda. So really, When you think about it, the Torah, Limud HaTorah, which is the function mainly of the Mishkan, to bring Torah into Am Yisrael, that focuses on the Moach. That's focusing on the Jewish mind. The Torah is primarily an intellectual chefza. It's a body of thought. So that focuses on the Moach, on the Jewish brain. To give Kedusha to the Moach, that's the purpose of the Torah. And that's the Mishkan. Then, by the Beis HaMikdash, the Torah already was given. But we need avoda. We have to serve Hashem Yisbarach. So how do we serve Hashem Yisbarach? La'avdo v'chol levavchem, says in the pasuk, that you serve Hashem with your lev. Eze avoda shebelev, have omazet tefila, Gemara said. That the service of Hashem with a lev is to pray. Tefila k'neged kabanos. Tefila and kabanos are basically the same thing. So, this communication, communing, confrontation, meeting with Ribbono Shel Olam is tefillah, navoda, and that's a function of the lev. It's a function of the heart. In other words, it's the emotional side of being a Jew. The intellectual side of being a Jew is in Torah. And the emotional side of being a Jew is in avoda. In other ways, a very interesting, a tremendous controversy. The Gemara says that Mishacharev Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so Avoda stopped, the real service of Hashem and Mikdash. So then the Gemara says, Mishachar Beis HaMikdash Ein La Kadosh Baruch Hu Ba'olamo Ela Abba Amish La'locho Buvad. Once there was Beis HaMikdash stopped, then there's a Mechitza Shel Barzel, there's an iron gate which blocks the connection between us and Avinu Shebashamayim. So how can we in any way connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu? It's to our Abba Amish La'locho, to Talmud Torah. That didn't stop. That had nothing, as we said, the Talmud Torah has really nothing to do per se with the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is for Avodah. Talmud Torah was already accomplished by the Mishkan. And Talmud Torah is beyond place. It's not limited. You can only learn Torah in Yerushalayim. Well, I can learn Torah. I remember when I first went to Eretz Yisrael when I was a bacher. So the Rav, my great Rebbe, the Rav was obviously still was around, and the Rav had gone to Eretz Yisrael in 1933. He only went once in his life, and he never went back. So, and I went, probably 64, 65, a good 40 years ago. So I came back, so he says to me, so what did you see? So I told him different things, and I was so inspired. He says to me, yeah, I understand you're inspired, but Talmud Torah, you don't have to go to Eretz Yisrael to learn Torah. You can learn in America. Because he was afraid I would go away to learn there. So he said, you can learn here. But he was very strong about the point that Torah does not need Eretz Yisrael. By the way, once I'm already saying, by the way, there's a big problem. Boys come back from Eretz Yisrael, so they have a letdown. Because it's not, obviously they're not. The question is, this letdown, is it because you're not in Eretz Yisrael? Because you're not in the yeshiva the whole day? Because you're spending half a day in college? It's not because you're not in Eretz Yisrael. If you'd be in Eretz Yisrael in Bar Ilan University, you would have a letdown compared to Rashis or any other yeshiva that you went to. It's not because you went from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz. If you would leave Eretz Yisrael, you would be in Bar Ilan, and you come back to America and go to Lakewood Yeshiva, and the whole day you'd be up, you'd go higher. The main thing is Torah, how much Torah you do, not Eretz Yisrael. But the way that we set up our system, So in high school, it's a double 12 grams. So you're not learning the whole day. So you go to Eretz Yisrael, you learn a whole day. So you go up the spiritual ladder. Then you come back to America, and you're only learning half a day. You go down the ladder. It's obvious, less Torah, less spirituality. But it's not because. But that's when it comes to Torah. Let's just say at this point we agree with the Rav. At least the first conversation. I had a conversation with him about 7 years later, and I told him a reason why I think learning Torah in Eretz Yisrael is better. And the second conversation, he says, Reichman, you have a good point. I said, when you're in Eretz Yisrael, you're in front of a Kaddish Baruch Hu in his palace, so you're more focused. When I'm in the White House, I'm more thinking about the president than when I'm playing basketball in the gym. So, you're in Eretz Yisrael, your mamash of Nei Melech Malchem Lovim, so about you're going to learn Torah better because you're more focused on what the Kaddish Baruch Hu wants. So that the Rav said, that svar, he says, is a good svar, he said. So you don't know what that means. Maybe it means what I just said. That it means you're in front of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, so you have more achrayis. Could be Abiyachas Machem is Nevuah. Nevuah is different than that. Nevuah is more connected to Avodah than it is to Torah. A Navi becomes a Navi because he's a real Eved Hashem. He's serving Hashem properly. So that maybe could be. There's a Chochmah of a Navi. That's a it is and isn't exactly Torah Sheval Torah. In any event, basically Torah, at least for 1,800 years, but the Torah Sheval Peter we know developed in Golos. Talmud Bavli was in Golos. The whole Gemara is in Golos. Rashi's in Golos. Tosfos is in Golos. The Ramban, Rashba, Ritva, they're in Golos. Chaim Brisker is in Golos. The Rav is in Golos. So the Baron Kotel was in Golos. Now it's coming back out to Israel. Very good. But the Torah that we know, Torah Sheval Peh, it had nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael. Nevuah, yes. Nevuah is only Shoah in Eretz Yisrael. So that's a different kind of something to talk about. Torah Shebachsav, Koach of a Navi, has to do with Eretz Yisrael. But Torah Sheval Peh, the Chochmah of Torah Sheval Peh, has nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael. So that's on one side. Avoda, 100%. To serve a Kaddish Baruch Hu properly in Eretz Yisrael is the right place. You see, we say it in Kriya Shema, Boim Shemoa, you do the mitzvahs, La'avda, B'chol Levavchem, you do Avoda, where will it be? In the side, Matar Aschem, B'itzo, you'll be in Eretz Yisrael. That's the real place for Avoda, Hashem Yisbaruch. In Golos, how can a person serve Hashem Yisbaruch properly? It's a Golos, it's an Onshim, he's distant from Rebbeinu Shel Olam. And Avodas Hashem means I have a Skavus, I have a Dveikus, I'm connected to him. So Avada Eretz Yisrael is Paltrin Shel Melech, it's a Kodesh Baruch Hu's palace. There I feel much closer to him. So Avodas Hashem Mizbaruch is definitely in Eretz Yisrael. So a very interesting thing, what the Gemara says, it was a Meshachav Beis HaMikdash, it's Mishas Chari. So we can't do Avodas Hashem properly because we don't have a Makom HaMikdash, we can't bring Kabbanos, we're out of Eretz Yisrael. So, but Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Olamo Ela Ab Amish Lacha Bulbat. The Torah Shebal Peh will be unaffected. There will be a Gemara in Bavel, and there will be Rishonim in France and in Germany, and there will be Yeshivas in Poland and Russia and in America. So the Torah Shebal Peh will be very strong, go on and on. Came along the Hasidim, the Baal Shem Tov, and then after Baal Shem Tov came the Magid Meshritz. The Magid Meshritz said that when the Baal Shem Tov came into the world, the Koach of Avoda came back. Amazing. He said, even though it seemed that we're still in Golos, but it's the end of Golos, the Baal Shem Tov's arrival on the planet is a sign that there's a last stage, and on the last stage of Golos, Avoda reasserts itself and it exists in Golos. The Avodah of the Hasidim, their service to Hashem, is equivalent to the Avodah of David HaMelech or Shlomo in the Beis HaMikdash. It's a Karach of Avodah of Eretz Yisrael. And that's why the Hasidim emphasized tefillah, davening, and singing songs Rav Moshe Feinstein, or the Tshuva, he says, you know, let's sing a song, because we're in Golos, singing is us, it is a Gemara. Songs are us. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes a Tshuva. He thinks, he says, Shlomo Kalabach is us, and Mordechai ben David, and Avram Fried, all the Jewish tapes, he says, are us, because you're not allowed to sing a song once there's Golos. He passes Halacha L'maaseh, of course, we didn't accept his Psalm. But that's what he passes. So it means if you can't sing a niggun, what kind of a vote is a Kaddish Baruch Hu will there be? You're far away, a distance from a long, a distance I can intellectualize. Kaddish Baruch Hu is great, but I'm mamish in Golos. I'm in Avelus. An Avel can't relate to. But the Chassidim said that's not correct. Once the Baal Shem Tov came into the world, Avoda came back. And Avoda, actually, they say, is even more than Torah. Like it used to be by the time of the Beis Hamikdash. The time of the Beis Hamikdash, the main thing was Avoda. Nevuah is also Avoda. The Torah Shebaal Peh was not so important in the time of the Beis Hamikdash. The more important was Navi. The Avoda, the Kabanos, three times a year you go to the Beis Hamikdash. And the Beis Hamikdash, there's Nevuah. The Gemara says Yonah was a baby, his mother born into the Beis Hamikdash, she became a Navi. Just walking to the Beis Hamikdash, she became a Navi. Yonah. It was a different thing completely. A completely different thing. So anyway, the Chassidim came back, and they brought back the Koyach of Avoda. Yeah, someone had a hand.
Yeah. I heard once that during the time of the Nevuah, there weren't any real halakhic disputes.
Right.
So we didn't really need it discussed in our
Right. In other words, you can come to Chachma through Avoda, through the lathe. The Navi gets the wisdom not through the intellectual logic of Torah Shebaal Peh, but he has intuition. He knows what it is. It comes from his heart. The Ari HaKadosh, so it's unbelievable. The Chachma that she laid down, it's just unbelievable how much wisdom he shows. So they said he didn't sit and think about this and figure it out intellectually. If he would look at a Mishnah, a simple Mishnah, Moshe Kibbutz Torah Masinai Masala, Memesai Kar Mishma, B'Shachris, B'Avis, a simple Mishnah. Look at it, close his eyes, and then torrents and torrents of Torah would come out. By itself, Chaim Vital said it wasn't that he was working with his logic to try to figure out Pshat and the Tosfos with the Reb Chaim and the Rav. And that was not at all the way he got to his Chachma. His Chachma came from the lathe. It didn't come from the mind, it came from the heart. There's a Chachma Saleh, the Koch of Avoda, the Koch of a Navi. Yes?
I'm not sure. It says a Chacham is greater than a Navi?
Yeah, Chacham is greater than a Navi. Correct. Chacham Adaf Menavi, because the Chacham can be Oker. He can overrule a Navi, because the Chachamim can be Oker Dover Min HaTorah, B'Sheva Al Taisa, Kumbha Seidik, Meni Gezeva.
So Torah is stronger than
Avodah. That's a source to say that. That's a source, but you know, nothing is conclusive. Nothing is conclusive. Yes?
How can anybody say that Avoda was his father? And if I'm sorry, doesn't say one person is on it?
No, that's Chesed. Chesed, of course, you can do. The question is Avoda Hashem? The Avoda of Hashem, which basically, in another way of saying it, it means his dafkus, the dafka bo, la avdo. The Torah puts it together. The dafka bo, la avdo. Cling to him, touch him, and serve him. If you're another person's in Golas, how is he going to have a dreikus? There's going to be a long distance relationship. There's a relationship, we're not saying there's no relationship, but it's long distance. Long distance is not the same as panim al panim, face to face. So face to face, and there it's a swear on the base of Mikdash, Yerisem, it's Pnei Hashem. You can see a Kodesh Baruch Hu, his view and his presence in the base of Mikdash. Without that, it's a long distance, it's a big gap. So therefore the avoda has to be much weaker. That's the simple thing. But the chiddush of the Baal Shem Tov was that at the end of galus, even if you're physically in galus, but spiritually you can restore that avoda of it's a chiddush gadol ma'od. Was not accepted by the all the misnagdim, right? The mitzvah yeshivas, they did not accept that idea. They said it's only Torah. That's why the Nefesh HaChaim, he wrote his book, because he wants to say he thought that the Baal Shem Tov and the students were twisting, missing the boat, that they're trying to put avoda as a primary way of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, not true. Talmud Torah, not avoda. Well, of course you daven three times a day and you do these things, but it's a long distance mitzvah. It's not panim al panim. The chassidim said you can get the panim al panim. You can. The chassidim shavetvus have ruach hakodesh. They're able, so they're getting chachma not because of their logic. They get chachma from the lev. They intuit it. It's an intuitive wisdom. It's the wisdom of the Ari HaKadosh. It's not all wisdom which begins in the mind, begins in the heart and feelings. There's a famous maisa with Lubavitcher Rebbe. So Arik Sharon was at the Lubavitcher's visiting him, and there was a plane. So Lubavitcher Rebbe says to him, "We're having a good conversation. When's your plane?" He says, "I have to leave in 5 minutes because my plane is leaving soon." So Lubavitcher Rebbe says, "I'm having a good conversation, so you'll miss that plane. You'll take the next plane." So Sharon said, "Okay, I'll stay with the Rebbe and I'll talk some more and I'll miss the plane." That plane was hijacked. They hijacked the plane because they thought Sharon was going to be on. He was the defense minister of Israel. So if they would have captured him, they would have wanted every prisoner in Israel should be released, $10 billion, and who knows what else. And Israel would probably do it to get the defense minister back. So the Rebbe told him to stay, so he wasn't hijacked. So they asked the Lubavitcher Rebbe later, they said, "But how did you know that his plane was going to be hijacked?" He says, "I didn't know anything. I just wanted to continue the conversation." So what's pshat? We are not Baal Ruach HaKadosh, me and you. We're Tamidim and the yeshiva. So we have the koach of chokhma of the Torah. We're learning Torah, so we have to say a pshat. A rational pshat and something which is irrational. The pshat is the Lubavitcher Rebbe, he didn't say his things because he thought them through logic. It came from his lave. He just said, "Stay here, take another plane." In that lave with the chokhma that there'll be a hijacking and I don't want you to be hijacked. It didn't have to be in the logical brain. It was in the intuitive wisdom of the soul. That's where the Rebbe's. You go to Rebbe's, and the Rebbe says this, he says that, and then you see 5 years later, it's exactly what he said. Did he think this through logically? No. He knew it. Where did he know it from? From his subconscious feeling. Something came in, not through logic, it came through lev. That's what the Baal Shem Tov said. That if you study Chassidus, you can get Chochmas HaLev. You don't have to have Chochma only of the Moach, there's a Chochma of the Lev. So, anyway, that's a Chiddush of the Chassidus, that the Lev can come back even though it's really an Israeli Eretz Yisrael Keli. It's something that in Eretz Yisrael, the Lev of the Jew springs. It's like a kinor. It's like a harp. So when the right winds blow, and so then I forgot what it's called. Something vibrates in response to something else. What is it?
Reverberates.
Yes, it reverberates. It's like a sympathetic. I'm playing over here, but the sound goes over there, and some other instrument starts making music. It's in Israel. If a person's in Eretz Yisrael, the place itself makes his soul sink. He doesn't have to think about it. It's a natural instinct. The person is in Eretz Yisrael, his lab is singing naturally. When he looks at the sun in Eretz Yisrael, he sees the Shekhinah. The Gemara says, Avraham Avinu looked at this. The Gemara says, Avraham Avinu had a certain special diamond or whatever. The Gemara calls it some gem. He says, where did he get? And this gem would heal everybody. Anybody who was sick would come to Avraham Avinu, and Avraham Avinu would take this gem and hold it, and boom, the man became well. So where did he get this gem? So the Gemara says he looked at the sun. He looked at the sun and he saw a gem and he just pulled it out of the sun. And he used this Evan Yukara to heal people. So it's all, obviously it's a riddle. I don't believe it's literal that he looked at the sun and he pulled an Evan Yukara out of the sun. It means like this. Avraham Avinu, he was an Eretz Yisrael. And he had the lave. He was the first Jew. So he had the lave of Eretz Yisrael. Because Am Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, it's all the same neshama. So there was a sympathetic reverberation. If he wanted to sing to Hashem, he heard Israel singing to Hashem. When Israel sings to Hashem, he would sing to Hashem. He didn't have to think about it. He had to sit and declare, oh, I'm chayav to daven shachris, I have to have kavana, let me think. Shema means this, Yisrael means that. It didn't have to think about it. It didn't come through his moach. It came through his lave. Because it's a lave of Eretz Yisrael. So when a Jew is in Eretz Yisrael, his lave is reverberating to the air, to the sun. He sees the sun in Eretz Yisrael. He sees the Shekhinah. When you're in America, you look at the sun, what do I see? I see a ball of light. I don't see anything special. In Israel, I look at the sun. Oh, it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I feel him. There's a Metzius. It's only if you're Jewish, not a guy. A Jew in Eretz Yisrael, it's like a keli, like the Gemara says by David HaMelech. David HaMelech, it says, he had a kinor, he had a harp, and he needed an alarm clock. So in those days, he didn't have an alarm clock like we have nowadays. So the Gemara says, he wanted to wake up at midnight in order to do tikkun chatzos. So how did he do it? He had this kinor, he had by his window, in Yishlaim, a lot of winds. So at midnight, the wind would make the kinor start playing, and he'd wake up because he had a good alarm clock, his kinor, his harp. And he would up and play. So what's the Gemara mean? He knew to wake up at midnight because he was in Eretz Yisrael. He knew that in Eretz Yisrael at midnight, the world changes. The first half of the night is din, and it comes midnight, it switches to chesed. Now, in America, I also know this, that the first half of the night is din, is harsh judgment, and the second half of the night is chesed. God's kindness is coming into the world. But in America, I have to think about that. It comes through chachma. In Eretz Yisrael, it's in the wind itself, tells me. In the wind itself. The wind before Chatzos is blowing hard, cold, tough, rough, din. And at Chatzos, it's beautiful, sweet, warm, loving wind. It's chesed. I don't have to think about it. It's a metzius that my lave feels. That's what David HaMelech, he felt it. He knew that at Chatzos he has to wake up and sing shiurs and shishpachos to Kadosh Baruch Hu for the chesed in the world. It was in the lave. It's a chochmas halev, not a chochma of the moach. It's a chochmas halev. And where is that? In Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz La'aretz, it's chochmas ha-moach. It's when Moshe says, "Meshachav beis hamikdash en leKadosh Baruch Hu ba'olamo el ab amishtalachas v'bad." Once you're driven out of Eretz Yisrael, the only way to relate to Kadosh Baruch Hu is through chochmas ha-moach. You have to study Torah, v'gisa v'yomam v'layla. Through the Chochmah of Torah, you can come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But you can't do it through your lave, because the lave is sasum. The lave is clogged because of the gullus. Only in Eretz Yisrael is my lave patuach. Yeah.
Say, the Gemara and Brachos over there with David HaMelech from the heart. It starts out with asking a question. How could David know what Chatzos was when Moshe Rabbeinu did it? The Gemara answer is David Simon HaAvoy.
He had the harp.
So it was the harp.
What's the answer? He wasn't Eretz Yisrael. Moshe was Mechutz Laretz. Moshe was a Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim was Galus. How could Moshe feel what Chatzos? That's Kichatzos. David was Eretz Yisrael. His lev, no. The lev is much more precise than the moach. I want to tell you another word. Just recently I was talking to someone. It's Nageya to you. And the Shidduch. You're going out with a girl. And you want to know, should I propose or not? If you have to go through, take out a piece of paper and start doing a Reb Chaim's Chakira. Oh, and Sadecha, the Chakira says she has A, B, C, D, which is positive. And the other side of Chakira, she has F, failure, A, B, C, D, failure, failure, failure on the other side. If you're sitting with a piece of paper trying to use your moach to decide getting engaged or not, then rachmanis in you. It's a big rachmanis. Shem Yerachim. If you're lave, you don't think, it's in my lave. I know. Then you know, this is it. That's the koach of it. Lave, once the lave knows, it's much stronger than the moach. Because the moach, there's always tzedadim. An argument this way, an argument that way. There's a Rashi, there's a Taisvis, or Beinu Tam, the Ri. Can always argue with the other side of a discussion. There's no final solution. The Ramban, you should read the Ramban, the Hakdam of Ramban to Shas and Muhammad Hashem. So he says you should know. In all our arguments, the Baal Amor, about the Rif, believe me, he says, whatever I'm going to write, it's not as if I'm 100% sure that my logic is superior to the Baal Amor. Baal Amor was a big genius. He knows how to learn too. I think my arguments are better than his, but I would never say that my arguments are absolutely correct and he's absolutely wrong. It says in Torah Shebal Peh, we don't know absolutely that one side is right, the other side is wrong. We say there's a preponderance of evidence, it's more logical, it's more persuasive to go this way. The Moach, it's very, very difficult in a Moach situation to have black and white for sure answers. The Moach is always working with an educated, I wouldn't say guess, an educated decision. But it's a decision. It's not a black and white. The lave is different. The lave is for sure. It knows what it's doing. If he has a chokhmah as a lave, it's a virus. It's like nevuah. A navi doesn't have any doubts. The Ramban was the greatest. Who knows? Many people claim he was the greatest Rishon who ever walked the planet. And Ramban says he's not sure whether all the things he says is really right. Maybe the Baal Amor is right. You think Rabbeinu Tam was so sure he's right and Rashi's wrong? Maybe Rashi was right also once in a while. Also know how to learn. It's a question of leaning one way over the other. But as a Navi says something, is there any doubt that he's saying something? So the greatest Chachmei HaMesorah, the greatest Chacham and Torah Shebal Peh are saying, what we're saying is only a Hachra. It's leaning one way. It's not a B'viyu, it's not a Vadoyis. But if a Navi will come and say, I think the Rabbeinu Shlom told me this. Is he a Navi? Of course not, he's a charlatan. A Navi says for sure it's like this. And someone disagrees with him, he's a Kofa Be'ika. Schaiv Misot, and he's going against the Dvar Hashem. Because that's not Chokhmah Samoach. It's the Lev. The Lev, once it gets Chokhmah, is absolutely sure. No Sveikus whatsoever. If you know you have a Suffolk, I might as well tell it to you, you should write it down. This is from Rabbi Alfasi's itself, the great Makubal, who was the Baba Sali's Gabbai for 18 years, and he got from the Baba Sali the wisdom of a Shidduch. Baba Sali was. So the Baba Sali told them the following yisod. In the Shidduch, there's a rule. Chor shebelev trefa. If the lave has a hole, the animal is trefa. I don't care if the animal can run a 75-mile per hour trip around the racetrack. If you look in the animal's heart and there's a hole, it's a trefa. It's going to drop dead any second. That's the rule when marriage is a matter of the lave. if there's a chor, the heart's not, it's not functioning properly. It's not b'shleimus. There's a hole there. Trefa, stay away from it. If you have to sit down and clear chakiris, should I marry her? Should I not marry her? She's this or that. Treif, definitely no good. It's a chachmas alev. So anyway, lev and moach. So this, getting back to the original point, this is shilo in Yerushalayim. Shilo is moach, because shilo is the place where Kodesh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu. I mean the Mishkan. The Mishkan is the moach of Torah. The Migdash is David HaMelech. Face David. What is David? Ne'im Zmiras Yisrael. He's singing songs. He's lev. David Melech is lev. Migdash is lev. Migdash is avoda. That's why when the avoda of a Kaddish Baruch was in the base of Migdash. Migdash is destroyed. And the Kaddish Baruch of Olam Ab Amish Talach Buvad. Then we have to serve Hashem through our Koach of Talmud Torah. We have a base of Migdash. Avoda should be lev. These are two Yisrael's. Mishkan Shiloh is Koach of Seichel of Torah, and Migdash and Yerushalayim is the Koach of Avodah Shebelev. That's why there are two stages. That's why there's a Menucha and there's a Nachla. Now I want to explain something. He says a very Gval de Kavod. It's real. Which, this goes back to what we spoke about before. Which derech to do with Son Hashem? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants both. He wants us to serve him with our moach. He wants us to serve him with our lev. So he said like, so which is greater? It's hard to say. The Chassidim have a big machlokes with the Misnagdim. The Chassidim say lev. The Misnagdim say moach. So by the way, he says a very good thing. He says, that's the chiluk between Shabbos and Yontif. And Shabbos, I serve a Kaddish Baruch with my Moach. Because the Moach says, Le'iv v'shabsa ela l'girsa. Kaddish Baruch Hu created Shabbos for people to study Torah. So in Shabbos, we have seven aliyahs. The most of the whole year. It's in Shabbos Kodesh. Shabbos is for Talmud Torah. Shabbos afternoon, the Gemara says you're supposed to learn Torah Shabbat Peh. You can't even learn Ksuvim. You're not even allowed to read Shira Shirim or Mishlei. It's too easy. You have to go into Lomdus Shabbos afternoon. Yeah, you have to hear a tefillah shir with the Chakira and the Reb Chaim and the Kiveger and like that. Can't even learn an easy kesuvim. It's too easy, the Gemara says. There's an issur d'rabbanan to learn in the afternoon kesuvim. Shabbos is the deepest, hardest, most advanced Torah. So that's why Shabbos is a day of Talmud. It's a day of Moach. However, Yom Tov is Simcha. Simcha's leiv. Yantiv is lochem. You have to have an enjoyment. Lochem v'la Hashem. You have to have an enjoyment. It's a simcha. It's emotional. Yantiv is an emotional time. So you serve Hashem b'moach on Shabbos. You serve Hashem b'leiv on a yantiv. Also, by the way, that's the chiluk between Torah and mitzvahs. Torah is moach. Mitzvahs is lev. If you do a mitzvah, stop, I go through the routine of doing a mitzvah. But I don't have any feeling. It's ikar chasam and a sefer. It's a very, very weak mitzvah. The main part of the mitzvah is the hagosha, the feeling of the mitzvah. What does the mitzvah, do you have an emotional reaction to the mitzvah? Is your lev in it? The Gemara has one mandama says, it could be the Rambam passes this mandama, mitzvah srichas kavanah. Without kavanah, you can do the mitzvah. It's nothing. It's a waste of time to do the mitzvah. You need kavanah. The main part of the mitzvah is the kavanah. The lev. What is the kavanah? The kavanah means to experience it, to feel it. The mitzvah is lev. Torah is moach. I want to tell you one thing about Zai. Your victims, we're all victims of the special gullus called America. Now, the gullus of America, I would, if I had to say it in very short, 2-3 words, the gullus of America is the gullus of the lave. It's the galus of the lave. The moach in America is pretty good. Americans, there's a lot of science, a lot of intellectualism in America, colleges, universities, a lot of thinking, and lahavdil, there's a lot of Torah, good thinking of Torah. They write Sforim, people know how to learn. Say drushes and Shabbos, it's good. It's a good. There's a good intellectual environment. It's pretty good. But where's the lathe? There's no lathe. There's no. Where's emotions in America? Nothing. It's all phony, make believe smiles. Everyone's walking around smiling. Meanwhile, they have no. It's a joke. There's no lathe. It's a goddess of the lathe. People are so alienated from their feelings. They have no. It's not genuine feelings. That's the big problem in America. And if a person, you ever see a man in America who would cry? They'd put him in a mental asylum. A man should cry. He must be mentally ill. Why did Kadosh Baruch Hu create tears for men? In America, it's us. That means you're mentally ill because you cried. It's unbelievable. The koach of crying, such a tremendous koach. The Gemara says, if all the gates of heaven are locked, there's one gate which is always going to be open, Sha'arei Demois. Person cries, goes right up to the Kisya Kavod. Every other Sha'ar is locked, because we're in Golos. But one Sha'ar, I can always open up, the Sha'ar Dima. And in America, a person cries, they think he's a Meshiganah. I go into shuls, I'm trying to find people who cry. It's very hard to find a Jew who cries. And the Shtibro, when I was young, oh, a lot of tears. A lot of tears, Baruch Hashem. I was Zocha, I saw people crying by davening. Even in the yeshiva, I saw Reb David Lifshitz itself. Kippur, his Avinu Malkeinu. You take a bucket and catch the tears. In that Aron Kodesh, in that Beis Medrash. So I learned how to cry from him. I'm an American boy. Not allowed to cry. You're a baby if you cry. But they used to call us a cry baby. When you're 5 years old and you cried because someone hit you in kindergarten, you come home. And your mommy would say, you cry, baby. A little baby's crying, so it became embarrassing. A boy's not allowed to cry. I had to go to, so Rabbi Lifshitz, a 70-year-old tzaddik, crying in the base of Medrash, and he said, Avinu Malkeinu, Choneinu Vaneinu, Kein Bo Masim. And I learned that a man can cry, because Yisrael gave us real tears. It's real. So as I say, America's the goddess of the lave. You're not allowed to express your lave. Your lave is supposed to be. What did they say? There's a famous story. I don't remember all the details, but the story was it has to do with the following. It's a Jewish story. There was a lion king, and this lion king set up a system of guards at gates and bridges. Anyway, he came to some bridge. He went out and wanted to see if everything is working the way he should. So he went to the bridge, and by the bridge there was I don't know, a donkey or a fox, I forgot, an animal. He says, I want to go across the bridge. So the animal, the watchman, says, you have to pay. You have to pay. He says, how much is it? He says, well, it costs $1 to go across the bridge. So the lion is there with his crown. He says, you recognize who I am? So the donkey is watching the bridge. He says, yeah, you're your majesty, the king. So the lion king says to the donkey, who's watching the bridge, he says, and you want me to pay the dollar? Yeah. And who's going to get the dollar after I pay it to you? Well, I give it to my supervisor, and they tell me it eventually winds up by his majesty in his palace. So this dollar you want me to pay you will eventually come back to me. So I want to go across without paying the dollar. Let me through. Donkey says, no, son. Everyone has to pay a dollar. Even his majesty, the king, has to pay the dollar. That's the rule. So the king lion goes, whacks the donkey and kills him on the spot. He's shocked. Why did you do this, Your Majesty? He's a loyal worker. He's protecting your rights. He doesn't want anyone to go across, even you, unless you pay the dollar. Why'd you kill him? So I'll tell you why, the king says. I want you to open them up, make an autopsy. You'll discover something very interesting. They open up the donkey. And he says, so, find me. So he said, what? What should we look for? He says, find me his lathe. Find me his heart. And they look in the donkey. There's no lathe. There's no heart at all. How he was acting and living, I don't know. He had a good moach, a big brain. But he didn't have a lathe. So the king says, a donkey without a lathe doesn't deserve to be my worker. He has to go. What is he? So that's the end of the story. I think it's a Chassidus Shemaisa. What's the pshat in this Maisa? I read it in some Chassidus storybook. What's pshat in this Maisa? Because we're Lamdanim. We don't have a lathe, but we have Moach. What's the pshat in this Maisa? Pshat in this Maisa like this. The donkey was a donkey. So his mind was, it says I have to pay a dollar. Everyone has to pay the dollar. I don't care that the dollar will eventually wind up by the king, and here's the king himself. He says he doesn't want to pay the dollar. So if he would have a lathe, have common sense, have intuition, feelings, of course he would bow down, let the king do whatever he wants. He's loyal to the king. He has a lathe. But he has no lathe at all. He has just stupid moach, a stupid brain, that says 1 + 1 = 2. No matter what, it's always going to be 2. It'll never be less than 2 or more than 2. Even the king himself has to pay the dollars. He doesn't have a lathe. Someone without a lathe cannot be a servant of the king. You have to have a lathe. That's what the story is saying. So I say that America is the gullus of lathe. They don't let us have a lathe over here. I'm not allowed to cry. I'm not allowed to jump. It's pasnish. I'm not allowed to do things to serve a Kaddish Baruch Hu where I want to. It's all because the society founds on it. So this is our gullus. So Torah requires both moach and lev. You should not be ashamed. It bothers me very much. I come in and I see the people davening and they're whispering. What are you whispering for? When you talk to your friend, you whisper? I hear a lot of people screaming in the gym, and they're playing ball, and stam talking loudly on the street to friends. Why, the Bnei Shalom, you can't talk like a friend to him, you have to whisper to him. That's a Christian thing in the churches. You're not allowed to talk loud, you have to whisper. It's all taken from the non-Jewish thing. It's not a Jewish thing. Jewish thing is the ten lashonas of tefillah. One lashon of tefillah is Vayitzak. Vayitzak. Moshe screaming to Kodesh Baruch. Vatal Shavoson. Elokim Navoda. They were screaming, they were crying. Vayivku. The Chumash writes, Vayivku. Moshe and Aaron were crying. There was a crisis. They were crying. Milachol Gadol Moshe VeAaron, the two greatest Jews who ever walked this planet. They were not embarrassed to cry in front of everybody. They were crying. It says a few times in Chumash, VaYivku Pesach Moshe VeAaron. They were crying by the Meraglim, by other places. They mamish fell down and started to cry. What's wrong with showing your emotions? And what's wrong with screaming to Kodesh Baruch Hu by Yitzhak? But it hurts. They asked once. The Stalin of Hasidim. How come when you daven, you're screaming? So the Rebbe said, or whatever it was, the Chassid said, and if it hurts you, you don't scream? If someone's putting a knife into your leg, you're not going to scream? What are you, a human being, or you're an ostrich? A person screams when it hurts. So it hurts me. I have to scream to Kodesh Baruch Hu. I want to go into a shul and hear people screaming. I don't like this whispering. I want people to scream. I want people to cry. That's what I saw in the shtiebel. That's the way the chassidim daven. That's why the Maggid was right. The Maggid said that in the end of Golus, it'll come back the avoda of Moshe and of Aaron and Beis Hamikdash. There'll be a passion. Lev. Not just moach. Dispassionate intellectualization. We need to have the feelings to express ourselves. This is how we're supposed to serve Hashem at the end of Golus. This will be the schus which will bring us back to Eretz Yisrael, the lev. This is what the Chassidim say. So Mamela, what the Shem Shmuel explains, is that we should know that the avodah of the lev is greater than the avodah of the moach. Not like the Mesnagdim. Reb Chaim Volozhiner writes in Nefesh Shachayim that the main avodah is moach. The main avodah is the lev. What's the raya? The raya is that first you had Mishkan Shiloh. The Mishkan is avodah samoach. It was a great avodah of giving matan Torah, Vedav Hashem al Moshe, al Moed Lamor. It's a tremendous thing. He gave the whole Torah to the Rabbeinu Shlom, to Moshe, through the Mishkan. But that was only first stage. Because if anyone will ask anybody and ask them, what was the greater Mokum Avodah Hashem, the greatest Mokum Kaddish? Was it in the Mishkan of Shiloh or was it in the Beis HaMikdash of Yerushalayim? Everybody knows that Beis Yerushalayim is the ultimate place, Beis HaBechira. It's greater than the Mishkan. So, and what did you have in Yerushalayim that you didn't have in the Mishkan? Avodah Shebelev. The Mishkan was Moach, and it was the Korach of Torah. And the Mikdash was Avodah Shebelev. It was the Avodah which comes from the heart. It was the Korach of Chochmas HaLev. It's greater than the Chochmah. It's greater than the Avodah of Torah. And Mirz Hashem, we have a third base of Mikdash, we'll come back to that level. By the way, he says very well that's why we have two Mashiachim, Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. Where was Mishkan Shiloh? Chelik Yosef. Chelik Ephraim. What's the Koach of Yosef at Tzadik? Moach. Tavosa L'Rosh Yosef. Yaakov says, Yosef has a Rosh. He's the Moach. What was the Koach of Yosef? Ein Chocham V'Novan Kamocha. His Koach HaMoach was able to control, he shouldn't do any Aveira. Because he was so smart. With the Chocham of Torah, he couldn't do a sin. The Koach of Moach. It's Yosef. It's a Shiloh. David is Lev. And David is Yishlaim. Nims Miris Yisrael. And that's why the two Mashiachim. There's a Mashiach ben Yosef. That's first. First is the Koach of Torah. Thousands of years, Jews are finding themselves far and far away from the Kaddish Baruch. We're alienated. We have a problem of Golus. But we have the Koach of Torah. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Abba Mishloach B'Van. That's the first stage. Then we get to the final stage, right before Mashiach comes. Mashiach ben David follows the Mashiach ben Yosef, the Koach of Lev. So the Bosai, we mispalel that this amazing idea of the Shem Shmuel, that the Geula of the Lev will follow the first Geula of the Moach. We see today, Baruch Hashem, I would definitely subscribe to the idea of an Aschalta, the Geula of the Moach. Yes! There's an amazing amount of Torah, which is an explosion of Torah, Balpeh, and Chochmah of Torah, which has not been in the Jewish people for, who knows, maybe since the Chachmei Bavel, the Chachamim who wrote the Talmud Bavli. We never had so much Torah being produced at any particular time. In the whole of Europe, before World War II, there were maybe 1,000 yeshiva boys. Today in one yeshiva, why are you? You have 1,000 boys in one place. In Israel, you have 1,000 boys every block. And you go in Yerushalayim, every block, another 1,000 fellas sitting and learning. Never was like this since the time of Bavel. That yeshiva. The Gemara says in Bavel, there were assemblies of tens of thousands of people came. Here you have Chavetz Chaim on Tisha B'Av. He makes a worldwide assembly he has 100,000 people. I don't know, in the time of Babel even you had 100,000 people to hear one shiur. They said the Bekiva had 24,000. The Chavetz Chaim Foundation, they have 100,000 on Tisha B'Av. Huh? 90,000! 100,000. You ever had this?
It's a videotape.
What's the difference? Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the technology to do it. You're saying, had they had videos in the time of Bubba, they would have also had 100,000. Very nice, but Lamaisa, they didn't have the 100,000. We have the 100,000. Huh? The Madison Square Garden, they made the Sima Shas, so you had Madison Square Garden. Probably Madison Square Garden, now that's Sima Shas, and all around the world, you probably had 100,000 people participating in the scene.
I'm saying just in the garden
itself is more than 25. Good. Okay, but the fact is, of course, the Kodesh Baruch Hu makes this technologically feasible, but it's a mitzvah that we have more people learning than, who knows, for thousands of years. It's definitely racious tzmichas gulosenu hamoach. But the lave, unfortunately, is still in deep goes. We have yet to come to a gulas halev. People are alienated. People are not fervent about their avodas Hashem, nebuch. People don't have a connection to the Almighty. Not in their mind. In their mind, yes, they can write wonderful books and about the Chochmah of Torah and whatever topic you want. You can get anything you want today. But to feel it, to live it, this is still a deep golus. A deep golus. So, Be'ez Hashem, but the Shem Yishmul says, we should be excited, because Shiloh precedes the Beis HaMikdash. There will be a Beis HaMikdash. There will be Avodah Shebelev. There will be. It comes after the Avodah. The Moach comes first. First we have to get the Moach, and once we know the Torah properly, we'll go to the next level, the Koach HaBelev. B'mheira v'yameinu, Amen. Now we have a little bit with what comes. It's what? Oh yeah, I forgot to say. The Menucha and the Nachla. Why is Shiloh called Menucha and Migdash Nachla? Menucha means temporary, and Nachla is permanent. Because the Menucha, which is the Moach, is still a first stage. The Nachla, which is the permanent, ultimate stage, is the Gula of the Lev, is the Beis HaMikdash. That's why it becomes Nachla.